नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो चैप्टर 5 प्रहलाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु टेक्स्ट 52। धर्मम अर्थम च कामम च नितराम चानुपूर्वशः प्रहराद यो चातु राजन् प्रश्रितावनताय च धर्मम। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। Thereafter, Shanda and Amarka systematically and unceasingly taught Prahlad Maharaj, who was very submissive and humble, about mundane religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Purport. There are 4 processes for human society: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and they culminate in liberation. Human society must follow a process of religion to advance, and on the basis of religion, one should try to develop his economic condition so that he can fulfill his needs for sense gratification according to the religious rules and regulations. Then liberation from material bondage will be easier to attain. That is the Vedic process. When one is above the stages of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, one becomes a devotee. He is then on the platform from which he is guaranteed not to fall again to material existence. Yad gatva na nivartante. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, if one transcends these 4 processes and is actually liberated, one engages in devotional service, then he is guaranteed not to fall to material existence again. Hare Krishna. So I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially senior devotees, to speak something on this purport for my purification. So here Prabhupada is talking about dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So basically the need of religion for economic development is described first, because the problem today's society is that although a lot of economic development is happening, especially in India, but the role of God and religion is going slowly going away slowly from the life of devotees, from the people in general. So the problem with this kind of society is that, according to scriptures, although we may get certain things by working hard because of our previous pious credits, but if currently we are not following the path of religion, then it will lead to many problems individually and collectively. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Istan bhogan hi vo deva dasyante yagya bhavita. Krishna is not saying don't enjoy. Krishna is not saying don't do economic development. Krishna is not saying don't work hard for some sense gratification. But there has to be some procedure for it. There has to be some process for it. Because we are living in somebody else's kingdom. We are living on somebody else's land. It's not our land. So the problem, basic fundamental problem, is that people think they take by granted that everything belongs to them and they can just acquire anything by working hard. But basically it's not our property. It's the property of the Lord, and Lord has given in the hands of the many of his representatives. So that's why he is saying, Istan bhogani vudeva dasyante yagya bhavita, that you perform yagyas, and by performing yagyas, the in-charge of the various necessities of life, they will supply, and then you can enjoy. But if you don't do that, ter dattan apradayebhyo, if you don't offer back as a token of gift or as a duty. Yo bhungte sthena evasa. You're just like a sthena, thief. So Prabhupada says in the purport that if we don't follow these rules and we just try to exploit the resources of material nature, then certainly we become like thieves. And therefore, we are punished by the laws of material nature. So when so many calamities comes, like yesterday something happened where this earthquake, China, a few days before this another thing, wind came in Burma, cyclone. So these kinds of things are happening and people are getting bewildered. What is this happening? So this will happen because punishment will come. Although we are not able to see the hand of the person who is giving punishment, but punishment is going to come surely. So in the Sarandan to me, Bhrujanpu writes purport to this verse that Arjuna is thinking that I will escape from these offerings to demigods and yajna and offering to basically Supreme Personality of Godhead ultimately. Because what I will do, I will go to the forest. I will live by begging. So this is the consciousness of today's society also, that what I have to give and take with the god or demigod, I am doing my job, I have my software career or any other career, I am working hard, 12 hours, 14 hours, 60 hours, where the god comes into picture. So this is the limitation of this dharma, artha, kama, moksha, that when artha is gained without dharma, then person doesn't feel the need of dharma. But actually that is not the fact. Fact is that whatever artha is getting now also, that is because of some previous pious credits. Like that day Govindpa was saying that Prabhupada said that the queen of Britain is a very pious lady. So that piety we may not able to see now, but actually she has earned a lot of piety. That's why Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribhir, that those who are pious, that those people only get very special birth, beautiful body, wealth, and knowledge. Vidwan, scholarly. So Arjuna was thinking, I'll go to forest, I will avoid all these demigods. But the point is that even after going to the forest, he has to survive on what? Things which are given by nature, which are nurtured by the demigod themselves. So he cannot avoid just by going to the forest or by begging the, just by adopting the profession of begging. So that's why Krishna says, Yajna Shishta Shineshanto Muchyante Sarvakilbishe. Bhunjate tu agam papa ye pachanti atma karanat. That my devotees, whatever they eat, they first offer to me. They first offer to Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who don't offer, bhunjate tu agam papa. They are only eating the sin. So it's not just eating the food, it's like anything which we are enjoying for our senses. That's like bhoga. So if we take anything without offering to the Lord, it becomes sin. And Krishna says, Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava yajnad bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhava. That we get grains by rains. It's not that they comes in factories and all that. And rains comes by yajna. And yajnas are done by performing prescribed duties. So that's why it's very important even to live a material happy life, materialistic happy life, even from material point of view, to worship God, worship Krishna, even worship demigods is very good, very important. But generally, when a person starts getting money and he doesn't have the proper training, then his life becomes animalistic. Dharmena hina pashubhi samana. One person was telling me that when saying that a man is usually more careful of his money than is of his principles. So then when money starts coming in the life and there is no training, so person life becomes totally animalistic, materialistic. Like Prabhupada writes in one of his purport that yesterday one chief minister came and he was speaking to me that it has become a fashion of the modern age that to become irreligious is religion. And that is the nature of the society where so many conditioned souls are there. So anything which is repeatedly done, that becomes a religion. Anything. Even in the society of devotees, this may happen, that where many sadhakas, where many devotees which are trying to advance, but they are trying their best to advance. But ultimately, if something is done repeatedly in the society of devotees also, even if it's a little deviated, that becomes a religion, that becomes a norm. So in today's society also, because everybody is just doing the wrong things, So it becomes a norm. Why to worry about God? Why to worry about dharma? Everything. But actually it's very dangerous. Because if person try to get artha without dharma, then many problems may happen. Some of the things which I thought of in my limited understanding is that when person is getting money without having any religious background, then he has no values while earning money. He just do all kind of cheating, all kind of nonsense while earning money. And that's why in the society, nowadays there is no faith among people. There is so much killing, so much cheating. So even while earning your livelihood, you're always in so much in anxiety. So much tension is there, so much fear is there. Because everybody is just waiting to cheat you, exploit you. Because they have no principles, no values. Another thing is that when you have so much money and don't know culture and no religion, there is no concept of regulated sense gratification, which is given by Shastras. Because when you have a lot of money, like 40,000, 50,000, 1 lakh per month is coming, and only husband and wife are living in one small flat, and both are earning, so they just spend lavishly without thinking that for what we are spending it. So it becomes a very difficult situation. And they end up doing all kinds of wrong things, collecting all kinds of more and more things which are not needed. And then another thing is that when person is earning money with the help of religion, with the help of Shastras, that even while he is doing the process of economic development, like performing yajñas for getting some dhana, getting some good crops, good harvest, so in that he comes in contact with many other principles also, like principle of next life, principle of suffering in this world, or unknowingly he chants the name of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's in touch with Shastras, he's in touch with the higher goal, only some period of time because he has some duties or some attachments are there. He's not able to give up everything. But when the right time comes, he's able to give up. And that's why Varnashrama can take place, Varnashram system, that after Brahmachari, Grastha, Vanpras, and particular time he can take sannyas. Because while earning his money also, he is gradually becoming detached. Is gradually coming closer to God and the reality of life. So this is a very important thing. But first people say, why to bring God? I am not giving trouble to anyone. Like that we were discussing in the Brahmachari class. And Shyamananda was saying that, what's wrong in my little sense gratification? I am not giving pain to anyone. These like four principles we talk about. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication. So meat eating, up to certain extent, some people accept. But even in that, they say, otherwise their population will increase. But they say, at least we are giving some pain. But what's wrong in, I'm working hard at 25% of my money every day, I keep as amusement to play and gamble. I don't expect to win. I'm not attached to winning. I just want to play. No pain to anyone. Similarly, I work hard throughout the week, throughout the month, and then sometime with my friends to lighten my mood, I take some little liquor or something. No pain to anyone. And if two adults are agreeing each other to entertain each other, so what is the problem you have? The problem in this is that the senses goes wild. In the beginning it may go very small, very little, but because of no training and no culture and no religious principles, it will not be just little. And certainly, according to Upanishad, we will go beyond our quota. What is our quota? Certainly we will go beyond our quota. And then actually it's harmful for us and it's harmful for others. So that's why it's very important to even have a basic materialistic life also. If somebody wants to live a peaceful, happy, materialistic life, although there is nothing like that, but still if some sanity is needed, then he has to follow some religious principles. And even after earning so much money, there is no time in his life. No social life. What is the use of this money and a development, economic development? Like recently I came across with a very beautiful story, or you may say it's a real story, I don't know. But like one day this father came to his house. So the son opened the door. Very lovingly father embraced the son. And then son asked, my dear father, can you tell me a question? That how much you earn a hour? Many of you must have read, it came on the email. That how much you earn in an hour? So father became angry. Why you want to know? Why you want? You want something? He said, no, I'm just asking, please tell me. He says, $20 an hour, or 200 rupees, or 400 rupees, whatever you want to count. Say $20 an hour. So then child said, can I get $10? So father becomes more angry. He said, if you wanted $10, you should have told me. Why are you asking about my salary and everything? Go, I'll not give you. I don't know what you want to do with the money. So child becomes morose, go into the room and trying to sleep. But then father feels that I didn't do right, you know. I unnecessarily hurt. So he went inside, opened the door. Are you sleeping? He said, no, I'm not sleeping. Immediately got up. He wanted attention. And they said, okay, take this, your $10. And immediately he took out $10 from his under the pillow. Father becomes more angry. You already had 10 or you wanted 10 more? Why this? And then he gave this $20 to father. And what did he ask? Can I get 1 hour of yours? So this is maybe very crude example, a crude story, but this may happen. And this is happening in different ways. That people are earning, people are so busy in so many things, but they don't have time for themselves, for their families, for the society. So what kind of upbringing will take place? What kind of emotional support they will get? And that's why there is so much problem happens in the society nowadays. Because when child is not given attention, love and affection, so then he becomes very irritated. His mind doesn't develop so much. And he gets agitated for small things. So this economic development, even from material point of view, there is a need for religion. And coming back to the second part of the purport, that where Prabhupada is talking about that this economic development is also is of no use from eternal point of view, if you see. It's like a childish play, Prabhupada says. Like children make some houses on the beach with the sand, they call sand castles. And when the waves comes and what they do? They just finish them. It's like a Sone Ki Lanka. That is there without God, but how long it will be there? How long you will have so much money and how long can you enjoy? With that foundation is very shaky. So Prabhupada says in the purport, in one of the purport, that it's not that you have to follow only the religion which I am teaching. Follow at least some religion. Christian religion, Muslim religion, Hindu religion, and religious principles involves all the social principles and all other, you know, society life. Follow something, some value should be there in the life. Otherwise, even when people say we are so wealthy, but then again, Prabhupada put this point in the teachings of Queen Kunti, Kunti Maharani is speaking that glorifying Lord, that by your glance, everything is flourishing. So what is wealth? Prabhupada talks about real wealth is not the dollars and rupees. Real wealth is actually good food, good air, fresh air, sweet water. And then so many minerals and pearls and gems and diamonds and rubies. This is actually wealth. And if you see the Vedic lifestyle, which we can read in Shastras, that how much wealthy they were. Milk like is flowing like a river. And Prabhupada says milk is like nectar, and with the milk we can make so many wonderful preparation and we can be happy. So happiness comes at the level of bodily platform, mental platform, intellectual platform, spiritual platform. So people say, you ISKCON people just talk about spiritual things. No, we are talking about even the physical, mental and intellectual thing. When you come in contact with Prabhupada's philosophy, it fulfills the need of mental, intellectual, physical, spiritual, everything. Such nice, wonderful prasadam, emotional support by loving relationship with devotees. And then intellectually also we get so satisfied by reading Prabhupada books. And spiritually we all know what the benefit is awaiting for us. So that's why natural resources and basic relationships are suffering because of this artificial economic development. So what kind of happiness we can expect in this civilization? So coming to the second part, again, I just didn't start till now, the second part. The Prabhupada talks about this shloka, like dharma sunishchito pumsan vishvaksena kathasuya na utpadeyadi dirtim shramehevi kevalam. That, first of all, people are not following religion. And even if they follow, they follow their religious duties, but those religious duties don't help them to develop attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it's what? Shram evahi kevalam. It's a useless labor. Because ultimately, at the time of death, no matter how much big economic development we do, it will be taken away. And death can come at any time. Big billionaire, big multi-millionaire or billionaire, there is no death notice. Any time death may come and they take away everything. And if somebody try to do economic development by doing yagyas for Indra, Chandra, Varuna are going to the heaven, there also what will happen? There also you have to chine punne marte lokam vishanti. So because people are in ignorance, and ignorance is the greatest curse in the society, people don't know what is going to happen next to them. Like sheep, many sheep are standing, or goats are standing in a queue, and this person, butcher, is taking one goat and cutting one by one. And all other goats are very happy and satisfied and busy in what? Just eating their food, just in their economic development. So that ignorance is becoming the problem, because people are not thinking from long-term point of view. And when people don't think from long-term point of view, it becomes a very difficult situation. They just want to think from next day or 1 year or 5 year, just like that at the most. They don't want to plan for 20 years down the line or next life point of view. So that's why dharma, artha, kama and moksha. That we can use dharma to earn artha and then have little sense gratification, but ultimately person has to come on the apavarga. Apavarga. Pavarga means pa, fa, ba, bha, ma. That parishrama, hard work, and during the hard work, so much pain, foam comes out, pa, fa, ba, then bandhan, bondage is there because we do so many things, we get entangled. And there is always bhaya, fear, that whatever I am getting, it will be taken away. And then ma, mrityu, the ultimate fear of death. So that's why shastras prescribe the process of appavarga. That we should not just get entangle ourselves into the getting so many things and just satisfying the senses, and because the same senses are going to ditch us. The same senses are going to give us so much trouble in future. So that's why apavarga. The devotees aspire for going beyond this material existence, and they talk about moksha, liberation. But even among transcendentalists, devotees talk about not just liberation, they talk about approaching the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, where they can serve the lotus feet of Krishna. Because mere liberation cannot give us the full satisfaction. Serving the lotus feet of Lord Krishna will give us the ultimate satisfaction. And the person who develops the love of God, according to Bilumangal Thakur, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevate Asmat. That Mukti Devi herself is standing to serve, to offer services to such a devotee. So we have to develop that ultimate aspiration to render service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that has been made very easy in the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not satisfying just his 4 Purushartha. He has come to give us the 5th Pancham Purushartha. What is that Pancham Purushartha? Prema Pumartho Mahan. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Agyana Tamera Naam Kahiye Ketava Dharmartha Kama Moksha Vancha Adi Sabha. That darkness of ignorance is called Ketava, the way of cheating, and which begins by Dharmartha Kama and Moksha. So this is totally, you're turning the table upside down. That first we are talking about dharmartha kama moksha, all the shastras, at least follow dharmartha kama moksha. So there are many different levels of religions are given in shastras actually. There is ultimate religion and there is a sub-religions are given. So the person has to start from somewhere. But coming in contact with devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going even beyond these 4 purushartha and directly following the ultimate thing. Like Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning only, dharma prajita ketavatro paramo nirmasaranam satam Vedyam Vastu Matram Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayona Mulanam. So Srimad Bhagavatam has kicked out all the bogus religion in the beginning only, Ketava Dharma. What is bogus religion? Any religion which promises you happiness in this world, or promises you sense gratification in this world. But the religion of Bhagavata or Bhagavad Gita, they don't promise that. They promise happiness in this world also, but not the kind of happiness by sense gratification. And they promise the ultimate happiness in the spiritual world. So what he is saying, Vedyam Vastamatra Vastu Shivadam. The real substance you will get. Real substance. Who is that real substance? That is Krishna. And Shivadam means all auspiciousness will come in your life. And Tap Trayonamulanam. You will be freed from the threefold miseries. As Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu talks about, that one person start performing devotional service, what happens in his life? Two things happens. Klesha Agni and Shubhada. That all the miseries start going away. And all the wonderful auspicious qualities like humility, tolerance, simplicity, all these wonderful qualities start manifesting. And when these qualities manifest, then person become really happy. So, Panchama Purushartha Prema Ananda Amrita Sindhu. He is saying that this Pancham Purushartha, which is the developing love of God, is Prema Ananda Amrita Sindhu. This is like an ocean. Ocean of what? Nectar. Nectar of love. Moksha Adi Ananda Yara Nahi Ek Bindu. And the moksha, the ananda of moksha is like a drop. It's just a drop. So this is very rare path. Although we have come in contact in Krishna consciousness movement with Lord Chaitanya very easily, at least I didn't endeavor so much. But according to scriptures, Koti Mukta Madhya Durlabha Eka Krishna Bhakta. That among crores of liberated souls, there is one rare devotee of Lord Chaitanya or Lord Krishna. This is not such an ordinary thing. So we have to, time and again, we have to think about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, which has comes in our life. Like according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in one of the purport, Prabhupada writes, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he distributes his mercy, it's like in three ways. First thing he says, person become free from the miseries of this world. Like people are so much morose in their life. There is so much anxiety, there is so much fear, the fear of losing, fear of getting something. So when person comes in contact with this philosophy, when person comes in contact with happy devotees, then what happens? He becomes free from this miserable situation. Because klesha agni, all the kleshas start going. And second thing, freedom from confusion. First of all, nobody is interested in spirituality. And even if somebody develops a desire for religion or spirituality, there is so much confusion. What to do? This process, that puja, that devata, this baba, that baba. So much confusion. But when person comes in contact with Bhagavad Gita, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. You don't have to search for so many scriptures and so many books and so many, God, Ekam Devam Devaki Putra Eva. And you have to just serve Lord Krishna. So confusion is mitigated. Person just with fixed attention, he keeps serving. And third thing, one is elevated in transcendental position. It's not that in the material you are happy or material you are becoming okay. Transcendentally, spiritually also you are coming closer to God. When devotional service person renders, he feels such satisfaction and happiness. So this confusion is there. And there is a very beautiful story in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. There, the story of Subuddhi Rai, that where this Subuddhi Rai was actually a landlord in Bengal, and he had one Sayyid Hussain Khan, one of his servant. So once he engaged him in some digging the lake, big lake, and there was some mistake, and he hit him with the whip, and there was some mark on his back. And it so happened, eventually, this Sayyid Hussain Khan, because of the central Muslim government, he became a very big Nawab there. And Subuddhi Rai remained the same, a small landlord. But because he was so grateful to him, to Subuddhi Rai, because Subuddhi Rai only helped him to grow in his childhood and everything, provided all the support, so he supported him actually. He even gave him a lot of wealth and all that. But once, this Hussain Khan's wife saw this mark on the back. And she started telling that, I cannot tolerate that somebody has insulted my husband, you'd have to kill him. He said, how can I kill him? He actually raised me in my childhood. He supported me so much. I'm grateful to him. He said, at least you made him Muslim. You will take his caste. He said, if I take his caste, he will die. Because in those days, Prabhupada writes, that people were so, their understanding was so primitive about this religion. So many misunderstandings were there that that if anybody start associating with another person religion, then he has lost his caste. So what he did, he threw some water from his lota, from his vessel on Subuddhi Raya. And Subuddhi Raya lost his caste, according to the social custom. And now Subuddhi Raya is told to leave the village, and he left the village. He was looking for this opportunity. Because I was telling that every person follow the Varnashram Dharma properly, that at the right time, he has the sufficient strength to take the right decision. So he gave up the house, he came to Varanasi, started meeting different pandit. So what to do, what kind of atonement, prashida I should do so that I can come out of this thing which it has come on me. So one pandit told him, you have to drink tapt ghrit. Tara kahe tapt ghrit khana chhada prane. That you have to drink the boiling ghee. And while drinking that, you give up your body. Then in the next life, you will become again Brahman or Hindu somebody. Yeah. And another pandit said, no, alpa dosha hai. Ye to bahut chota sa, small dosha hai. It's a small fault. You don't have to give up this. So like, always we see that lawyers and physicians, there are different lawyers and different physicians have different opinion. So similarly here also he's totally confused. Like I was telling you, like three ways Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy comes. That one of the ways is that he's free from all the confusions of different philosophy, different paths. So when he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fortunately Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in Varanasi. It's a Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have nothing to do. Prabhu kahe eha ite yaha Vrindavan. You just go to where? Vrindavan. And what you should do there? Nirantar kar Krishna naam sankirtan. You should just chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada writes that in Kaliyuga, Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are so many inconveniences are there, social, political, religious, and people are perplexed by those inconveniences. But just by chanting Hare Krishna, we don't have to worry. We are saying, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, be freed from all the complexities of life, and realize Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Engage in His devotional service and perfect your life so that you can return home back to Godhead. That's what Prabhupada writes. So Subuddhi Raya went to Vrindavan. He started collecting all the woods and everything, and then he would sell it. Big bundle of the sticks or wood. And he would get 5 or 6 paisa out of that. And out of those 5 and 6 paisa, 1 paisa he would use just to buy some chana or something to survive himself. And then 5 or 4 paisa he would keep with the banker, with the baniya, local. So there Prabhupada says that a person in the renounced order of life, he is not supposed to collect any money. But why then Subuddhi Raya is collecting? So then Prabhupada clarifies this point. That saving money is not recommended for the renounced order of person. However, if one saves money for the service of the Lord or a Vaishnava, that is accepted. That is accepted. And in this regard, there is one nice incident when Prabhupada wrote one letter to Tamal Krishna Goswami. It's in 1969. Tamal Krishna Maharaj has been staying in Los Angeles temple, and from there he was going to Laguna Beach to preach. So Laguna Beach he was preaching, and he was getting a lot of success because people were having time to hear Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, and he started getting a lot of success, and he wrote to Prabhupada, we want to start a small center there. So Prabhupada wrote back, I'm always very enthusiastic to open new temples. It's very good. Don't worry. And don't worry about the money part. So far as money is concerned, it is not meant for banking, but it is for spending. Every day we should collect crores of rupees or millions of dollars, and in the evening we should spend it. But then he clarifies. He said, but because we are pushing on our activities regularly, therefore some money should be saved for meet emergencies for the future. So both things he says. First thing is that don't just keep on collecting. And second thing he says that because we are running the institution, we are regularly spending the money, so something has to be saved. So this Subuddhi Raya also was perfectly following the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dukhi Vaishnava dekhi tare karana bhojana. That whenever he would see a dukhi Vaishnava, like he has not bhojan or food, he would immediately arrange his food. And especially the Bengalis, Vaishnavas, they would come from Bengal. Gaudiya aile dadi bhat taila mardana. Because in Vrindavan, they don't get bhat, chawal. They get mostly the braj rotis. And with ghee and everything. So that would upset the stomach of Bengali Vaishnavas. So he would make arrangement for nice special rice for them. He would even give them nice massage. Prabhupada writes Bengali like massage, so he would give them massage also. So like that, Subuddhi Rai, he perfectly followed the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by following this process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Harinam and Vaishnava Seva, he perfected his life. So this is a very easy process, and we cannot find any other process more easy than this, where we have to chant Hare Krishna. Like that day we were hearing Prabhupada lecture, and Prabhupada was saying that if you act like an animal, you become animal. If you act like a human being, you remain human being. If you act like a devotee, you become devotee. You know, you go back home, back to God. Right? So myself and Baldev Prabhu were sitting, and immediately just clicked to both of us that we have to just act like a devotee. So if we just act like a devotee, try to behave as a devotee, then Krishna will take us back home, back to Godhead. So this mood of earning, like this Power of Blessing seminar is going on. So it's a very nice thing. Now, this mood of earning blessings of Vaishnavas is a very important concept. So I pray to all of you that please shower some blessings and pray for me. Like Prabhupada was also in his life, this one very nice book is there, Mool Prakriti Mataji's book, where she's talking about the many associates of Prabhupada when he was in Vrindavan and other places. So there Sriman Gopal Chandra Ghosh is talking about his memory, and he's saying that once I visited Radha Damodar Mandir, and it's a Nandosav. And Nandosav is Prabhupada's appearance day. So Prabhupada was dancing with the local Vras song like Nanda Ke Ananda Bhayo, Jai Kanhaiya Lal Ki. He was singing and dancing, and he was giving a lot of gifts to small local Vrajvasi children. Even other Parshas says of Prabhupada that Prabhupada would always keep some sweets or something in his room, and he would distribute them to the local Vrijvasi children always when they would come to his room. Or he would sometime call them, take this. And that day only one old lady came. She would come every day after taking bath from Yamuna, and Prabhupada would always respect her. So then Prabhupada said that you have this old beaten stick, you give this to me and you take my new stick. So they said, why are you joking with me? He said, no, I want your blessings. So she said, no, actually anybody will snatch away this snake from me. This old one is good for me. Then Prabhupada gave some Lakshmi for her, you know, food and everything. And she. So there are many pastimes where we see that Prabhupada is actually always in mood of getting kripa of Vaishnavas. Like when Prabhupada came also from US back, and all the wonderful devotees were there, and so much respect was given. This program was organized in Vrindavan Town Hall. So they are garlanded, by many people, like Nimbarka Sampradaya people, Harinam Press, Radharaman Mandir. But even after getting all the respect, when he was told that, what is success you have got, so he just told that, no, this is not mine. This is all Rupa Goswami's kripa. So this wonderful path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it gives us the highest goal. It gives the highest fruit, love of God, by easiest process. That's why Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. That's why he is Mahavadanyaya, most magnanimous. That he is giving the topmost thing, but at lowest rate. Because sometimes we go to the sale market, but there only left out things are there. So faith is not there. But here that is not the problem. Here sale is there, but the product is also very top class. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Okay, thank you. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.